More Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Every child deserves a place to call home, but for years now, Idaho has been facing a shortage in foster families, leaving a gap in care that's actually resulted in a lot of kids staying in short-term rentals. Now, though, thanks to a state and community effort, a new center is helping to address this problem. So joining us to talk more about this is Stacy Corbett, Child Welfare Program Manager at Health and Welfare.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the shortage in foster homes that our state has been facing?
Sure. You know, I think that unlike many states, Idaho definitely has a shortage of foster homes. And I think what we saw is a trend shortly after, the nation faced COVID. A lot of families, I think, really just kind of went into themselves taking care of their own family. And so we saw a lot of foster families decide that this, you know, at this time they needed to take care of their own children and this wasn't the place for them. And so just over time, it's been challenging to kind of pick that back up and find foster families that are willing to help out our kids. We're also seeing just a difference in the challenges that come with kids that are entering the foster care system today. They come with a lot of challenges and behaviors and needs. And when a community is lacking services to provide supports to those foster families, that can also add those additional challenges. So just like during COVID, a lot of the private sector services that are for developmental disabilities or behavioral interventions, they close their doors. And so a lot of foster families struggle when they don't have those additional supports. And so we've just faced a shortage of foster homes for a couple of years now.
So what kind of support does a foster parent usually provide for a foster child? If Stacy, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we ask them to take these kids in and love them like they're their own, providing them with care and nurturance. And of course, they get a lot of support in financial funding from the department, but they also get support from their assigned case manager to ensure that kids in their home get to their appointments for, you know, physical, dental, therapeutic needs. Sometimes kids come with some services like a behavioral interventionist or a CBRS worker, which is really someone that can come alongside to support them in some of the behavioral challenges that kids come with. You know, obviously, these kids have experienced extreme trauma events. And so through those trauma events, it'll come out in behaviors, right? They're all wanting to thrive and live and get back to normalcy. But entering someone else's home and having to go, you know, visit their rules and their family beliefs and cultural identities can be a challenge for some of these kids. And so they desire to be back with their biological family. And sometimes their struggles come out in behaviors. And so the department does the best that we can to support foster families in their day-to-day needs with transportation, vouchers for food at times, certainly room and board is paid for. But there are just a lot of challenges with the kids that we see today entering the foster care system.
So I'm curious about this new facility then. How big of a need was it to get this facility?
You know, it was a monumental task to undertake this project, but we recognized that, you know, kids sitting in what we call short-term rentals, which are essentially rented homes, it's not ideal to have six homes, have multiple kids in those homes, multiple providers. Having everybody in one facility where you can be really clear about policies and procedures and structure and routine is more ideal for kids. We know that kids thrive when they have that structure and routine and they have consistent caregivers, just like our foster parents being consistent caregivers. So having every child be under one roof is going to be more ideal to their well-being needs. And certainly we could not have done this without our community partners who came along and provided many of the donations that helped this building come to fruition.
And tell us about the kiddos that were most in need of this new facility.
You know, there's a wide range, but typically what we see right now is that we have a multitude of teenagers, anywhere from 11 to 17 and a half, who have a need for consistent caregiving and come with, like I said, those trauma events that lead to heavier behaviors. And so those are the youth that are designed to go into this program, knowing that ideally it's a quick assessment process. So although we may not be able to find a foster family to care for them in the immediacy of their placement need, the idea is that if they go to this center, there'll be more assessment that takes place in a 3 to 5 day window so that we can ensure that they get to their next placement level, wherever that might be appropriate for them.
So can you talk a little bit about the space itself? You know, how many rooms, but also what kind of resources are available? I mean, you talked about, you know, greater assessment, right, in those first couple of days. But what does this space, this living space, look like for these children?
Yeah, you know, it's actually a wonderful building. It's all one level. There are 16 beds in the facility. Many are single rooms, and then we also have some additional space that will have a double bed in them for sibling groups, because we do believe that siblings, you know, when there's a place to do that, sometimes siblings are not safe together, but when they are, then they can be housed in the same room together. And we also have what we call a sensory room, which is more for our neurodivergent population, where it really gives them the opportunity to get some energy out. It's called a crash pad. Essentially, it has a lot of climbing structures and bouncing opportunities, swings. A lot of sensory needs will be met in that room. And then we also, so it's more for the education that will be provided, along with entertainment and a space for our teens. And that really came together with the help of many donations from the community. We also have a full kitchen and a dining space. So our plan is to have family style meals where everyone will sit together, gender specific, for their meals and eat together. And then we also will have opportunity for recreation. We have a nice garden space in the back where there'll be ping pong, basketball, you know, crayons or chalk on the cement. And then obviously we have lots of behavioral and ability for kids to get large motor skill activities so that they get their movement, because we recognize that movement is so important.
So, you know, not only do you have, you know, this space of now for these kids, but I would assume you still need families who are willing to foster.
Absolutely. We need families across the state. And so we certainly would love to talk with anyone out there who's interested in fostering or just has general questions or wonderings. Can I just do respite? Can I just talk with someone and ask some questions? We have a need for all age ranges of youth from, you know, birth to 17 that need a foster family or even a forever family. So if you're interested, I would ask people to contact the 211 care line and they can get you connected to us.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. This is such an important topic. And so I hope just by highlighting it, maybe we can get some folks out there who are interested in fostering. So Stacey, thanks so much for the conversation.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
We've been talking with Stacey Corbett. She is the Child Welfare Program Manager with Health and Welfare, talking about a new facility for foster children here in our area. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.